All right, and our next speaker has come all the way from the Poconos area. So I'd like to introduce Bo.
Yes. All right. Thank you very much, Dan. I'm an addict. My name is Bo.
Hey, Bo.
Addict formerly known as Bo. I'm sorry. My name is Robert, and I'm an addict.
Hey,
okay? That's a story for another day. And it's funny, Dan caught me off guard when he introduced me as Bo. And as I said, that's a story for another day, but I want to make sure that I get out. My name is Robert, and I'm an addict. And I'd like to thank God for waking me up this morning, congratulate everybody that stayed clean, and thank my higher power for welcoming me to this point in my life and my recovery. Thank you very much for sharing, James. And thank you, Dan, for asking me to come out here and share and take a shot at a guy that, you know, we talked on the phone for about 10 minutes one Saturday when I was out and I was down in Florida about a month or so ago enjoying a little vacation with my aunt and uncle. And Dan talked to me and somebody threw my name to him and said that I have some PI experience, which I do have. And the technicalities you were talking about you being in your 50s, James. I'm in my 60s now. And I am computer literate, but I'm not involved with anything with the computers and the different areas of public information on that level. I leave that to the youth in recovery, as you're saying. Okay. You shared very well. I really appreciate that. I really appreciate what you shared. It gave me some information, too. And I'm going to share my information. I have never held a public information, and I like speaking public information, and it is public relations now. I know it's all under the one umbrella. I've never served on a regional level. Public information background comes from, let's start from the beginning. When I had 90 days clean, my first sponsor was involved with service real big time, got me involved with it. There was an area, our area, there was in Bergen area, New Jersey, is where I started with. There was a PI subcommittee with two members. They weren't doing really much work. The PI chair, I got involved with him with 9 months clean. Before I had a year clean, he had gone out and relapsed, and the subcommittee basically non-existent from that point on. And they hadn't been, there hadn't really been PI in that area for a number of years. And as I found, as I started doing PI work, that was not unusual, that there was not a lot of public information being done in a lot of different areas, especially where I came from, out in the northeastern New Jersey. And then there was another area, the United area, that had public information there. So in Bergen area, we had a little bit of money. So they had the money to fund the subcommittee. And United area didn't have any money, but they had bodies. They had people that were available. So we kind of worked in conjunction with each other, in cooperation with each other, to try to put some kind of public information together. And once again, I had just about had a year and needed 2 years to serve as the subcommittee chairperson, and I didn't have a heck of a whole lot of experience. So I hung on to the United Area subcommittee and learned what I could about public information. And when that 2 years came up, I had a sponsee. When my 2 years came up, I had said to him, if Bergen areas are still open, I'm going to volunteer for that. Because my sponsor had done service work in an area where it wasn't a lot of fanfare. It wasn't one of those things where you can pound my chest and I'm going to be a vice chair of a convention committee. Not that there's a darn thing wrong with any of it. But I wanted to serve at what I felt was a lower level, somewhere where I could do and just serve well. So what happened was the 2 years came and nobody had taken the commitment, so I volunteered for it and became the subcommittee chair in Bergen area. To go through a lot of stuff really quickly, I ended up being that in that for 2 years. My sponsee became that chairperson for another 2 years, and a sponsor of his became that chairperson for another 2 years. In the meantime, I had gotten transferred from my job out to Suffolk County in Long Island. They didn't have a subcommittee at that time either that was active, and people got wind that I had served over in New Jersey for a number of years and was still serving that subcommittee, running back when any of the PI work needed to be done and I would serve. So they asked me to step up to the plate, and we got public information up and running out in Suffolk County again. And my job brought me back to Jersey, and I served on the level of just group member of that subcommittee. What I want to tell you is that a couple things. Number one is that when I went back, when I retired 4.5 years ago, I went to the Poconos. They had a subcommittee that needed support. The vice chair was open. I took it. I was doing the right thing for the wrong reasons. And, you know, we talk about in service and on our symbol about proper services, doing the right things for the right reasons. And I wasn't. And it didn't last long. I was also very close to relapsing at that time. And I just have to share my personal recovery with that. Now, what I'd like to do, you shared so eloquently on the workings that way, I'd like to share on where my PI work took me and the benefits that I got out of public information, what I see the benefits of public information in the trenches, maybe. Because where I was, we took that subcommittee, and it's funny because in It Works How and Why, in our first tradition, you know, it talks about today's decisions may affect tomorrow's members, and when we think of solutions to our current problems, it's not hard to consider the needs of our group, our area, our region, or even the worldwide fellowship, and we talked about that. But it's also important to remember the unseen members in our discussions, the members yet to come. And when we work to ensure the vitality of NA, we're not just working for ourselves, but for those yet to join us. And I found through public information, we can touch, we can reach a lot of people, the members that haven't, that aren't seen by us yet, and in a variety of different ways. And a lot of that we did, I'll talk about that in a moment. What I'd like to talk about also is some of the things that happen within our rooms in public relations. As you were saying, in public information, I think one of the least read information pamphlets in Narcotics Anonymous is IP number 15, PI and the NA member. And it talks about a lot of things in here, and some of it is like how we don't even realize that we're affecting Narcotics Anonymous, that we're doing public information work. And you had said that when we're out at a meeting place and somebody's putting cigarette butts on the wall of the church and throwing it in the bushes, or we're out there with motorcycles at a 10 o'clock meeting that ends at 11:30 and revving those motorcycles up when we're coming in and out, and playing the radios loud, and just doing something in general. We don't even realize what we're doing and that we're representing Narcotics Anonymous, and it may not be in a good way. And I've seen it work in a couple of different ways. I've seen it work good and bad. I've seen my home group, when I got to Pennsylvania, we were having some problems. The church that we rented our meeting space from, there was damage to the walls from where the chairs were sitting around in the room, and there was some spillage on the floors. And the church asked us to do something about it. And, of course, our members, and I'll say this right now, any opinion that you hear expressed from me, I'm going to try not to, is the opinion of this speaker, not of Narcotics Anonymous. And in our traditions, it does tell us in the 10th tradition that we got to watch that, because even then, I can put a disclaimer out there, and I'm still going to be taken as it's Narcotics Anonymous's word, because Bo has X amount of years, because Bo has done public information work in 3 states and la, 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 la. So I got to be careful with that, and I want to make sure that I say that right now, because something will sneak in there, I guarantee you. But what happened there is we have people say, well, we can't. Well, let's buy and paint and let's do some things and do. Oh, we can't do that. That's using NA funds. That's money. You know, we're not supposed to endorse finance. There's financing somebody, an outside enterprise. And really, it was kind of as simple as we're talking about working in cooperation. And I think it's in our sixth tradition. I think I have it there somewhere, where it talks about there's a difference between cooperation and endorsement. And I'm sorry. Sometimes I fall a little short myself. The bottom line is, talks about where we need to leave our meeting spaces the way we found them when we got there. We need to take care and work in cooperation with the people we're paying our rent to, et cetera. And it was as simple as, well, you know what? I got some paint in my garage. Can we get a couple of volunteers? Bobby, don't you have a rug cleaner? We can. And we worked in cooperation with them. We didn't have to put any of the group's funds into it. And we went and we cleaned up and we painted and we got back in the good graces of the meeting place. Now, on the other hand, United Area, and someone shared about this last night, about how basically a whole area went, no pun intended, to pot. Because what happened was we were having problems with parking. There was legal parking all around this meeting place. And there were meetings there in this area every night of the week, every day of the week, Saturdays, Sundays, whatever. There was multiple meetings a day. And the neighbors were getting very pissed off about not having parking spaces out in front of their houses for the extra cars that wouldn't fit in the driveways. And what happened was there was a school there, and they told us, you know what, they suggested to us, we can park all around the school here, and it won't really upset the neighbors. But try not to park in front of the neighbors. And members of NA, we were in there saying, well, you know what, that's legal parking out there. Nobody can tell me where to park. And if I want to park there, I'm going to damn well do it. And that little self-serving, that little self-centeredness of some of our group members, because, you know, we had choices, and we chose to park wherever we wanted to. And those people in the neighborhood had choices, too. And they went to their political pull, and they went to whatever they needed to do. And the next thing you know, that was one of the reasons that why that the meetings we got in trouble there. And that meeting place folded. And we're talking about maybe a dozen meetings a week. I'm not sure. But we're no longer. We had to try to find new meeting places for it, and we did for a few. And for that and other reasons, that area folded. And we didn't look good in the public's eye for doing those type of things because of the self-centeredness of a few addicts. And I was probably one of them at one of those times. Okay. So there is where we're talking about some of the things that can happen because we don't even realize that we're representing the Fellowship of Narcotics Anonymous. There was a guy that thought he was doing well, donating. He had gathered tons of recovery shirts, Narcotics Anonymous shirts or whatever, and he wasn't using them. And he saw some people that didn't have clothes, and he figured he'd donate this stuff. Now we have people walking around that aren't members of Narcotics Anonymous with Narcotics Anonymous T-shirts on. Not kind of a good idea. That member just didn't know any better. And he needed to be addressed and said, you know, you're trying to do the right thing, but look what we're affecting, because that IP number 15, not that just the IP isn't red, but we weren't in that area really introducing and letting people know what PI is all about and what we do and what we don't do and what we can do and what we can't do and where we're breaking traditions. And, you know, my one thing, I always remember somebody reminding me that, you know, it was the old thing, I learned about traditions by breaking them. I didn't learn traditions about breaking them. I learned traditions because I broke them, and I had loving people and caring people that let me know I was breaking them and explained to me in a loving and caring way what I needed to do to get back on track. And some of the stuff that I was talking to Dan about yesterday, that what we did in public relations and public information, we got involved with a lot of the different things because what happened was we got some members involved. I said we had some from United Area. I had some sponsees. They got sponsees, and we got people involved by suggesting that they do a little service. And we got a subcommittee together where we had some people, and I used to go around and say what we're looking for in public information, we're looking for support. And God doesn't necessarily need people with ability. We need people with availability. Somebody taught me what I needed to know to serve on the Public Information Subcommittee. God put the public, somebody who was involved in public information in the Manhattan area, moved him into our area. He ended up hearing the message, came out to our subcommittee, and helped teach us some of the things and brought people in to teach us what we needed to know. We had that subcommittee up and running, but it was over a year before we went out and did our first presentations, because we did our mock presentations. We had workshops on the traditions and on the concepts so that we could learn a little bit about what was going on, so that we could bring the message of Narcotics Anonymous properly and doing proper service and doing it the right way for the right reasons. And we got to go out and do a number of things. And we did some stuff in our area. We didn't have the helpline was on the statewide level with on the regional level with the statewide level. So we learned how to do helpline workshops, phone line workshops to get members in there. But that was done by someone else. That was done, and I'm not going to try to talk about things that I don't know. I learned that a long time ago too. Let's put it this way: I got involved with a lot of different things. We got involved with going into high schools. We got involved with, you were talking about a psychiatrist or somebody that has people recommended to them by the courts and different things like that. We've done presentations throughout my experience. We've also done some helpline posters. We used to try to get one of my favorite things that we did, basic texts. We went out and had some money from our budget, and we bought 150 basic texts, and we made sure that we did poster days, got posters out to every library and every high school in Bergen County, New Jersey. We made sure that every library had one of our basic texts, every school library had one of our basic texts, and we gave them, and we talked with the SAC's substance abuse counselors, and sat down with all of them, gave them information pamphlets, gave them the information needed, and let them know what Narcotics Anonymous was, and if you would like to have a presentation at the school, to get a hold of us and do that. And we would do that. And we do that. I just did that a couple of weeks ago. My friend called me from Passaic County, and we did one of the high schools, ran down there, and all day long we did presentations to all their health classes. We do it every year just before they get their spring break. Sometimes we do it just before they get to their proms, and try to let them know that there's a place out there. We don't tell them that they're addicts. We don't tell them that they ever do drugs. We just tell them that we're here, and we're members of a fellowship called Narcotics Anonymous, and do a little presentation and try to bring something to them that maybe they can identify with, and let them know that if they have a problem, if they know someone has a problem, that there is a place, and that once you know and once you've heard it, you can't not know. Okay, you can't not know. And another thing we did was we had a nice budget the one year, and we got posters up on all the buses that ran. And we were only, Bergen County is within anywhere from right outside, right across the river from New York City to about 15 miles outside of New York City. And every bus that ran in Bergen County, and some in Passaic County, if we could get it, that ran to New York City, we had our helpline poster up on those, because what happens there is if they don't resell the advertising space, they don't leave blank. They don't pull things off and leave blank spaces. So we got bang for our buck with some of those posters that we put up there and paid for 6 months were there a year and a half later. And I'll tell you, for people who don't think some of these things worked, I can tell you that there was someone that was on that bus going to New York City, saw that, going to New York City to cops, saw that, ended up at one of our meetings that one night and said, you know what, I was going to cop. I saw that helpline says, you got a problem, maybe we can help. Because it talks in public information, we don't get grandiose, we don't promise anything. All we do is promise what Narcotics Anonymous promised us, and that's freedom from active addiction, that any addict can stop using, lose the desire to use, and find a new way to live. And that guy came to a meeting that night and said that he was going to get high, and when he got off the bus in the Port Authority, made that phone call to the helpline, and and he was at a meeting. And what happened from there is of no consequence to me or no business of mine, but what we were doing just shows that it works. A thing that happened with me, one of the stories that I have, I go out, as I said, and we do these presentations. Now here, I'm an old guy. I'm 60 years old, and every now and then we go out and we try to bring the young people out there, people that were riding the buses to New York City and smoking crack, and today they finished school or they got into Narcotics Anonymous and made it through high school and made it through their proms and different things like that without using, and present that to them in their schools. And every now and then, we didn't have enough people, so every now and then they said, Bo, you got to share. It's your turn. And I said, I apologize to the kids. I said, you're going to hear the old man story. I said, but you know what? I was in high school in 1964 to 68, and I was using. Okay, and I try to give them something I can identify with just enough. And what I get out of it is unbelievable. But one day, I do it, and here's what, and I always got things half-assed backwards. I share, and I had to share at the last meeting of the day, the last presentation of the day, and I share, and when it's all over, a young lady comes up from there after it. Now, once again, I wasn't going to share, but that day I shared because they asked me to share at the end, and a girl comes up and says, you know what you were saying? You were in Eastside High School, class of 68. Maybe you know my mother. I think she went there and graduated in 68, and I said, oh, what was your mother's maiden name? And she said, Susan Weinberg, and I just smiled, and she goes, oh, so you did go to school with my mother? I said, not only did I go to school with your mother, but when I was 4 and 5 years old, we lived right across the street from each other. Our families were close. And see, her mother and father were divorced. And she was in the school, and she wasn't living with her mother. She was living with her father. But she asked me, okay, and we don't give out our numbers, to the kids in school. I did give her a business card to give to her mother. She said, my mother probably loved to see you. We're alumni of the same high school. And her mother called me. Her mother came down to see me. And the bottom line, I said, you know what? Susan Weinberg, she was cute as hell. When we were in school, she was thin and and now she's divorced. Oh, I said, God's paying me. God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. So she agreed to come down and meet me. I said, we'll go out for lunch. And I said, oh, thank you, God. Bottom line was, we get down, she comes, and she meets me at work, and we have a great time. We sit down, and we start to have lunch. And she was cute. She was still just as cute. She was just as slender as she was when she was in high school. And we're talking 35 years. Hadn't seen her in 35 years. And I thought, as I said, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Bottom line was, she was in a relationship with someone who couldn't stop using, who had no clue. And to this day, I don't know whether that gentleman has stopped using. But where, like I said, I always had things half-assed backward. I thought God was giving me. I was set up to share at that last class of the day so that this girl could hear it, to go to her mother, to get her mother to me, so she could find out that that guy she's living with, there's hope for him. Gave her a meeting list. Talked to her about, I'm clean today. Now, I tried not to represent Narcotics Anonymous as a whole. I was representing something that I was an alumni of a high school, somebody that we grew up together for a couple of years. And here's a guy that was out there using for all this time, that I'm clean today. And it gave her, I just saw it in her eyes and in her face, the hope that there was hope for her partner. Don't know if it ever happened. But that was only because of public information that got taken care of. There was a girl that was high in high school. We were given a presentation. There was a gentleman in this room. He wasn't sure whether he was sharing at that. I know he shared that day. He wasn't sure he shared at her class. I'm pretty sure he was sharing in her class. And what happened was, this girl was in high school. She was high. She admitted she was high in class that day. She's been clean for how many years, Dan? 6 or more years clean now. Came from high school, heard the message high in her high school, and came into Narcotics Anonymous in our county, and became a trusted servant. She does work for Narcotics Anonymous, and she's been clean. So for folks that say PI, I don't know, is not necessary, or people that I can't see, like I said, in what PI has done for me and meant for me in my learning about traditions, learning about concepts, learning about service work in general. It's just, I can't believe that anyone wouldn't want to do something for public information, whether it's being on the subcommittee itself or whether it's doing some kind of work that's associated with it. There is something for everyone in service in Narcotics Anonymous. PI has been the one that I've been involved with, and it's funny, I had so much, and I'm glad that my time is almost up anyway. But there are some things that happen in Narcotics Anonymous that I need to be involved with, and I need to be sending out there. And it's attraction, not promotion, because it says it in our traditions that public information work done properly is attraction, not promotion. And with that, I hope somebody heard a little something that may get you to go to a public information, public relations workshop in your area, or the next subcommittee meeting in your area, or just get to your area and listen, because you know, at Area Service, we're all welcome. We don't have to be involved with anything to find out how Area Service works. Get there, get a little something that grabs you, find something that's your niche, and thank you for letting me share today.